Hello and welcome to We Love Books, the show where we absolutely love kids' books and we know you do too. According to those sound effects, Halloween is fast creeping towards us, and as I've said before, it is my absolute favourite time of year. I love to dress up, carve pumpkins, curl up with a good spooky book or film, decorate the house, all that good stuff. I live for it. And someone whose work I have enjoyed for a very long time is paranormal podcaster extraordinaire Danny Robbins, who makes a show called Uncanny for the BBC. Now, because kids are way more fun than adults, he's had the good sense to recently write a book for children all about the supernatural called Do You Believe in Ghosts? Spoiler alert, yes I do. And I even believe I've seen at least one. And it wasn't scary, it was just kind of interesting, but that's another story. So Danny's first piece of work exclusively for kids is out now, and I had to catch up with him to ask him, well, everything I've always wanted to ask him. Like, has he ever had a supernatural experience? Is he surprised by how many people love to follow his investigations into the paranormal? And what's his favourite pizza topping? Trust me, his answer to that is scarier than anything you'll read in his book. But first, I asked the kids of St. Columba School in North Strand if they believe in ghosts, and here are some of their fantastic answers. Do you believe in ghosts?
Sometimes. Sometimes I just think that they're a myth. Sometimes I think that my cousin Catherine's farts are a ghost.
Why do you think Catherine's farts are a ghost?
Because they're so loud and they sound like a juicy sound in the creek of it.
Is Catherine going to kill us if we put that on the radio?
She's probably going to kill me, not you guys.
And what about yourself? Do you believe in ghosts?
Sometimes I believe in it, but sometimes I just think it's a myth. Because then I think, like, some people are just trying to scare other people by thinking that they're real. So.
And what do you think ghosts are? Like, what do people think they are?
Just floating clouds.
That sounds quite nice, actually. What about yourself? Do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah, but, like, I don't think, like, ghosts can really do anything. Because, like, I've been just sitting there in my room sometimes and stuff fell over. Like, that's been there for, like, the past 2 years. But, like, I don't know. It's kind of like they can't do anything to you, but like they're just like just there.
And what about yourself? Have you ever heard a ghost story that someone thinks is real?
When I was younger, I used to say that in my house I have 10 ghosts and everyone would believe me, so it scares them a lot.
I would be pretty scared. Do you believe in ghosts?
No, but sometimes I do feel like there's like a ghost in my room. But I don't believe in them.
And why do you feel like there's a ghost in your room?
I see like a bit of like what looks like movement, but it's either just like a little hallucination or like dust.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Nope.
Fair enough. What about yourself? Do you believe in ghosts?
No. No, I don't believe in ghosts, but once I saw a mug flying.
A flying mug. And did it crash land or did it? Was it just flying?
There was milk in it. But the milk was empty after I went there.
So what happened? You just saw a flying mug?
Yeah.
Where was your flying mug?
In the room beside the room I was sleeping.
And were you scared?
Nope.
Wow.
It just used my Nerf gun and shot at the mug, and the mug eventually fell.
I think you killed a ghost.
I don't believe in ghosts.
And why?
They're weird.
So what about yourself? Do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah.
And why do you believe in ghosts?
I don't know.
Have you ever seen a ghost? Or do you know anyone who's ever seen a ghost?
No.
Fair enough. What about yourself? Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
Why?
Because there's no proof.
That's also a very good answer. Yeah. What do people think ghosts are?
Invisible.
My bed sheets.
Invisible and bed sheets.
Good combination of answers. Bed sheets. Has anything creepy ever happened to you guys, or have you just lived a very uncreepy life?
Oh, yeah. The pigeon in the bush. Oh, yeah. Well, I was walking by, and then a pigeon just swooped out, and it was scary as hell.
Not a ghost, but also very scary.
Yeah.
not just the supernatural you need to watch out for this spooky season. Keep an eye out for those low-flying pigeons. They'll get you. Well, book lovers, ghost lovers, and everyone in between, it's time to meet our featured author of the month, the fantastic and fascinating Danny Robbins.
Hello, I am Danny Robbins, and I guess you could call me a ghost hunter. I investigate stories that people tell me where they think they might have seen a ghost, and I do it for a show called Uncanny, which is on the BBC, which is a podcast and a TV series now. And I also wrote a play called 222, a ghost story as well, which is also about ghosts, you can probably guess from the title. And my new book is called Do You Believe in Ghosts? And it's for kids, and you can see I'm pretty ghost obsessed.
Were you always ghost obsessed, Danny, or when did this begin for you?
It definitely began as a kid. I was that child who used to sit in the school library reading books about ghosts, and I was really fascinated by them, I think. I viewed them as a detective story. That was another thing I loved as a kid, detective stories. And I felt this was the biggest detective story of them all, really. What makes us human? What happens to us, you know, after we are humans? And I think it's an incredible idea, really. It's the closest we get to time travel, I think. You know, we can't travel back in time ourselves, but if ghosts exist, then they are potentially the spirits of long ago people coming back to us. And what an amazing idea if you could ask a Victorian or a Tudor what life was like back then. So I got really hooked on the idea of ghosts as a kid, and I've just got more and more interested as I've got older. And now I'm very lucky. Lots of people tell me these amazing spooky stories, and I try and make sense of them.
I've never heard of that. Ghosts is the closest thing to time travel. That's great. Have you ever had any ghostly encounters yourself? Because I know you're kind of on Team Skeptic.
Well, this is a good question. Yeah, you would think that somebody who had written a book called Do You Believe in Ghosts might have seen one, right? But actually, no, I haven't. And I've spent my entire life thinking I'd like to see one. And I haven't. It's strange. I'm stuck very in the middle between Team Skeptic, thinking it can be maybe explained by science, and Team Believer, you know, really wanting to believe these stories are real. And I think the more I hear these stories, the more it pushes me towards thinking that it could be real. Certainly the people that I meet, I think they've definitely, something has happened to them. They've had a strange experience that they can't explain. And I love trying to make sense of that, trying to solve that puzzle. But until I have my own experience, I probably won't fully cross over into Team Believer.
It's so interesting that you've made a career out of that, because I'm on the other side of the fence. I'm a Team Believer I'm a skeptical believer. So it's so interesting. And I love the way you break down all the different cases. It's very scientific. So it's kind of, you know, there's no nonsense and you get all the facts. But I have your fabulous new book here, which I read in a couple of hours because I couldn't put it down. Could you tell the kids what Do You Believe in Ghosts is about, what they can expect, and who might love to read it this Halloween?
Well, this is the book that I would have loved to have read when I was a kid, really. I was so interested in ghosts that I wanted a book that kind of made sense of them for me. And I think that that's really my aim, to try and kind of help kids get into ghost hunting, essentially. You know, are you a budding paranormal investigator? Are you somebody that's ever thought about ghosts at all? I mean, maybe you've never thought about ghosts and you've never realized just how interesting this subject is and how it takes us into all these different realms of history and science and how our universe works and these amazing, thrilling stories about strange experiences that people have. So I think really, you know, this is a book that anybody would enjoy. I don't think you have to be particularly interested in ghosts to start reading this, but I think by the end of it, you will be, hopefully. And it's a collection of real life ghost stories, of stories that some of them are very famous. There's one called the Enfield haunting, which happened in the 1970s, which is one of the most famous ghost stories ever. And I explore that one. But also there are stories here that nobody's ever heard before, apart from the people reading this book. You know, you yourself, if you pick the book up. And these are stories that people have emailed me and they've maybe not even told their friends about it before, and I'm trying to help them make sense of it. So it's a real mixture from that point of view. But with each case, we look at it, we investigate it together. The reader comes on a journey with me. It's like we're sort of traveling back and actually being in the heart of the case as it's going on, kind of live at the scene, investigating like detectives. And then we look at it and we try and work out what potential team skeptic theories are? Could it be scientific things? Could it be to do with things that are going on in the environment or how our brains work as human beings? And we also look at the team believer theories as well. Like, you know, if this is a ghost, who could it be? I think that the most important thing for me is that it's, and I say this right at the beginning of the book, spooky, not scary. You know, this is not a book that's going to scare you. It's not going to give you bad dreams. Ghost stories don't have to be scary. Adults often talk up ghost stories going, oh, they're so scary. You shouldn't listen to it, kids. It's not for you. And actually, that's rubbish because so many ghost stories feature kids at the heart of it. The Enfield case back in the 70s that I talked about as an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old at the heart of it, having strange things happen to them, including Lego bricks flying across their room. You know, so I think ghost stories are very much for kids, and you can absolutely enjoy ghost stories in your own way. You know, they don't have to be these things that adults lock away and say are scary. You know, get in there, enjoy them, and enjoy them as the detective stories they are.
And you even have a very special photograph from that case in the book, which has been going through my head for the last few days, and I've seen it before, but it's just trying to work out how it happened. It's incredible.
It's a really strange photo. Yeah, it shows Janet Hodgson, the girl at the heart of that case, seemingly flying through the air. And the question has always been, is she really flying through the air? Is she what we call levitating, where you kind of literally kind of hovering in the air through some sort of paranormal energy? Or is she jumping off her bed? You know, and this kind of gets to the heart of all ghost stories, really, that we need to try and make sense of them and use our powers of deduction to work out if something paranormal, that means outside the normal, something that's, I guess, kind of magical, really, you know, a ghost, that kind of thing. Is that doing this? Or is it something human? You know, is it something that we can explain? And I think that's so interesting in this case. You know, there is that possibility that Janet was jumping and that we can explain it in a different way. And it was about kind of people getting caught up in the drama of a story and kind of, you know, all of us sometimes get caught up in things, don't we, and sort of exaggerate things. You know, was she exaggerating? Was she kind of making certain things up? And people have never known, you know, the possibility that she was flying through the air, kind of propelled by some paranormal force is an incredible one. Maybe, you know, sort of a bit spooky in some ways, but also kind of weirdly exciting, that idea of, you know, imagine if you could fly through the air. But also, you know, there is that possibility that we can explain this through human ways. So, you know, dive in and become a detective and work out what you think. Have a look at that photograph and see what you imagine that to be.
And you even did some very scientific experiments about that photograph yourself, which
I literally made my children jump off their bed. That the whole point of this, and you can see these photographs in the book, is could I capture a photograph like that from making my children jump? You know, I wanted to know if you can really capture someone jumping and make it look like they are flying. And it was a really interesting challenge because, you know, Janet, you know, she just does look like she's flying in that photograph. And I wanted to see if my own children could look like that. You'll have to have a look at the book
to
find out.
To see if it's been recreated or if it'll make you believe in the poltergeist. And I was wondering if you were surprised yourself at the unbelievable success that you've had in terms of podcasting, your play, multiple books, shows, even a conference. Why do you think it's gone so brilliantly for you? Not just that you're fantastic, but also the paranormal. Why do we love the paranormal?
Well, it's really nice. And yeah, I would never have imagined any of this. I was just a bloke in his shed making podcasts at the bottom of the garden. And then suddenly they got really popular. And yeah, my play 222, A Ghost Story, became really popular and has been on all around the world now. I think it speaks to just how interested we are as human beings in ghost stories. I think there's something about ghosts that has fascinated us for thousands of years. You know, the first ever ghost story was 3,500 years ago on a stone tablet in ancient Mesopotamia, a country now known as Iraq. And you know, since then, we've been telling ghost stories to each other, really, and trying to figure out what they are. So that's definitely, you know, just a thing that's existed forever. But I think also, you know, there is definitely a moment now where there is a real renewed interest in the paranormal. And I think lots of younger people are getting interested in it now. There's lots of things out there on TikTok and Reddit and all across the internet with younger people getting interested in ghost stories. And I'm certainly really struck by how many child fans we have of Uncanny, my shows, and also how many kids I meet on tour. And, you know, I've been into a few schools recently talking about the book and just meeting loads of kids who are really fascinated by ghosts. And I think that's great. I love it. You know, I was interested in ghosts as a kid, and I really just love the fact that I'm meeting so many kids who are as well. So yeah, if you've got a good idea, you're sitting on a good idea out there, Do something with it. Don't just keep it to yourself. Share it with other people.
And yeah, reading through your amazing idea to do a book like this for kids, one of the stories I particularly loved was the story of Stacey and the Haunted Toilet. Terrifying.
How could you not love a haunted toilet? Yeah.
I went to a school that was reportedly so haunted the cleaners, they wouldn't even go near the fourth floor after a certain point. They'd go up till about 4:30 when it got dark and then no one would clean that floor. I never saw anything, but it was definitely spooky. So I was wondering if you could tell us a tiny bit about Stacey and the Haunted Toilet.
This is a good one. I was really interested in telling a story that took place somewhere that we're all familiar with, because so many ghost stories take place in stately homes and castles and things like that. And you kind of think, you know, was it just posh people who became ghosts? You know, how come it's just people who own castles and stuff like that? Surely it happens in ordinary places as well, doesn't it? And so I found this story. Stacey wrote to me. And it was just in a toilet of a school in Birmingham, the boys' toilets. And she's cleaning it one night. You know, she's the cleaner at the school, cleaning all the kind of greasy fingerprints and snot marks off the walls and all those sort of things that kids leave behind. And I was just really struck by this story because it was strange. It started off with her just getting spooked and having a feeling. But then she had lots of strange experiences, like a toilet door that she'd locked that then seemed to open itself. And it culminates in her being shown some CCTV footage, some video footage from the school by the caretaker that seems to show the figure of a ghost in this toilet that she was cleaning where she had these spooky feelings. And it's great because it gets into the whole idea of, can ghosts be captured on camera? You know, I'm often asked in this era of smartphones where so many of us, pretty much, you know, all adults certainly have a camera now, don't they, on them all at all times. You know, how come we're not capturing more ghosts on film? And actually, there are a lot. If you go and look on the internet, there are lots of ghost videos and photographs out there. But I think the trouble is, we also live in an era of things like artificial intelligence and bots and all these different kind of things, you know, fake news, all these kind of different things that people don't trust now on the internet, where we can fake things. You can change, you know, videos. You can make it look like a celebrity is saying all sorts of strange things in a video through artificial intelligence. So I think that, you know, I just was fascinated by that idea of, can you capture a ghost on camera? So yeah, it's a really good story, really spooky story. And actually, the more you dive into it, the more you find that actually toilet ghosts are quite common. And
yes,
amazingly, Japan is the capital of toilet ghosts. There's so many toilet ghost stories in Japan.
And there's some fantastic ones in the book. So people will have to read that chapter, because it is one of the scariest places. You're on your own in a toilet. Everybody has to use them. We use them alone.
Totally. Yeah. It's one of the few places you're always on your own, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's quite a sort of like, you know, claustrophobic little spot, isn't it? You're kind
of
in a sort of small cubicle maybe. And I think obviously a toilet is a very normal place and not a spooky place at all. There's no need to get spooked when you go to the toilet. And I think a lot of toilet ghost stories are told by older kids at a school to try and spook out younger kids. That's one of the things I kind of discovered in my research, that if you look all around the world, there's lots of similarity between these stories, and they are basically a way for older kids at the school to spook out others. But yeah, it's really, really interesting, isn't it? And I love the idea that ghosts could be anywhere, that maybe, you know, they are all around us all the time, and just every so often we're lucky enough to have a little moment where our worlds overlap, if you like, and all the kind of invisible ghosts out there suddenly just become visible for a moment in one situation where somebody sees one. What a nice idea that is, you know, that there's kind of, you know, another world out there of ghosts doing similar stuff to us. You know, maybe they are there sitting on a park bench playing football in a park, you know, kind of whatever, you know, they're out there somewhere, and every so often we get a little glimpse.
Your book ends with your very own night in a haunted house.
That was an amazing night. I went camping in the wilds of the Scottish Highlands in this amazing remote spot, 9 miles from the nearest town, 9 miles walking from the nearest town. It's called Louisbelt, and it's right up, it's near to a town called Kinlochleven. And I went there because I met a guy called Phil, who'd been there as a teenager in the 1970s. He's in his 60s now. And he had a very strange experience. He felt it was a poltergeist, a ghost that can throw things around, move objects and make noises. And he was so fascinated and confused by his experiences that he keeps going back. He keeps traveling back to this place. And we learned that other people had experiences there as well. We've met a few other people now who's also had strange, spooky experiences there. So I went back with him last Christmas for our Uncanny Christmas special. And I write about this in the book, and spent a night there camping out in this ruined cottage. And it was very strange. And I heard noises there. I heard, you know, some strange noises. Read in the book to find out what they are. But it did make me wonder. You know, it did make me think, is there something there? And that was spooky, but it was also exciting. You know, it was getting very close to the subject that I love and, you know, getting close to that idea of potentially having an experience myself. And I think, you know, belief without evidence can seem a bit silly, but belief with evidence makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? You know, that's how science works. You know, we believe certain things about our world because we've been able to prove that in theory they exist. You know, that's the way the laws of physics work. So if you have an experience that you think absolutely proves to you that the paranormal is real and therefore you believe, then that kind of makes sense to me. And I guess that's what I've always been fascinated by, meeting people like that who've had an experience that makes them feel this is real.
And my last question is a very serious one. So we do have a quick fire round for you after this of more serious questions. But your book mentions the famous sighting of a ghostly Abraham Lincoln by Winston Churchill, no less, when he was having a bath, no less.
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
I'm wondering, what would be your most embarrassing place to see and to be spotted by a ghost?
This is a very good one, isn't it? I think, you know, it's a strange one. Winston Churchill, the great Prime Minister of the UK, meeting the great President of America, Abraham Lincoln, whilst he was having a bath.
Having a bath.
It's an unusual situation. I think, yeah, definitely. I mean, on the toilet as well, of course. You know, if the one time you saw a ghost was when you were on the loo, then that would be rather surprising as well, wouldn't it? I think, you know, or maybe with your mouth full. You know, there's those photographs they sometimes get of politicians, you know, when Ed Miliband, the Labour politician, was eating a bacon sandwich captured with sort of, you know, sandwich dribbling out of his mouth by the press. You know, maybe that would be a surprising moment as well. I think, you know, I would be so excited to see a ghost. I'd probably take it whenever I could, even if it was whilst I was on the loo. but yes, that definitely, I think on the loo is the worst place to see a ghost.
Well, there you go. For any ghost listening, he doesn't mind if you interrupt him in the bathroom. So bring it on. Danny Robbins, we are about to subject you to the infamous We Love Books quick fire round.
Bring it on.
Some authors have not survived this, so are you ready?
I will survive and I will come back as a ghost if I don't survive. Okay, so give it
Can
to
you
me.
Please haunt us in one of our episodes? It would be amazing. If you were a ghost, what location would you be most likely to haunt?
Ooh, I would probably come back and haunt my own house because I'd want to be there and reassure my family I was okay.
If you were a ghost, what outfit would you appear in? Would it be the iconic red anorak?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely not the bedsheet ghost. I'd be worried about tripping over the bedsheet. So, yeah, I would come back in my lovely red anorak.
Would you rather see a ghost or Bigfoot?
Ghost, definitely. Bigfoot fascinates me, but ghosts even more so.
Are aliens walking amongst us?
I like the idea.
Are you an alien?
No, that if I say yes, you go... That's what an alien would say to try and confuse you and make you think that they were lying. And it was actually a no. So
exactly.
I'm going to say no.
Because my next question is, would you tell us if you were an alien?
Oh, no, I've been caught out. All right, I'm an alien. I admit it.
I knew
admit
it.
That's why I'm doing it.
Yes.
That's why I'm doing all of this.
Podcast exclusive. Yes. What is your favorite Halloween tradition?
Definitely apple bobbing. I once filled my entire bath with apple bobbing and one of my friends went in so hard to try and grab an apple that he broke his sternum, his chest bone, on the side of my bath.
Watch your sternums. Don't be
exactly.
Vaccinated.
Be very careful. Dangerous business, apple
it's
bobbing.
It's a dangerous business. Yeah, be very careful.
I love all Halloween. I just love it. It's like, you know, it's my favourite thing in our house.
Halloween or Christmas?
Well, there you go. Halloween, definitely. I mean, I love Christmas as much as anyone, but Halloween is my Christmas. It's the time when I really come to life. And just getting dressed up, having a party, going trick-or-treating and telling spooky ghost stories. It doesn't get better than that.
What are you more scared of, ghosts or algebra?
Definitely algebra. I was never a fan of maths and now my children have to do it at school and I find it really hard.
And finally, Danny Robbins, what is your favourite pizza topping?
This is a good one. I'm going to be really out there and say tuna, which appalls my wife. She's really shocked by it. But I love a bit of tuna on a pizza.
Wow.
I really do.
Canned tuna? Wow.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Not a live tuna. But
it'd be weird.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. bit of canned tuna. I love it. Yeah, really enjoy a tuna pizza. I actually, my wife is from Sweden and they have really strange pizza toppings over there. They've kind of invented a whole new art form of pizza. They have like ham and prawn. They put banana on it.
What?
They put kebab and kebab sauce, all sorts. Trust me, if you ever go to Sweden, check out the pizzas there. They are pretty strange. They would make an Italian cry.
And now that's a bit scary. Well, that about wraps up our ghost-tastic Halloween episode of We Love Books.
Wait, don't forget about me.
Ah, BookBot. I thought you might show up before we go and attempt your monthly hostile takeover of my show.
I'm too busy for that. I'm getting my Halloween costume ready to go for the big night.
Amazing! What are you dressing up as?
Wait for it. It's brilliant. I'm going as a book-hating robot.
A book-hating robot?
Sure. What's scarier than someone who doesn't love books?
You've a valid point there, but how does a book-hating robot differ from a book-loving robot like yourself?
They look the same.
So, how is it a costume?
It's what's on the inside that counts.
Fair enough. You've always had your own take on things. Good luck with the preparations.
I'm working night and day on it.
I'd say so.
Hey, do you want to hear some witch jokes for Halloween?
Do I? Now you're talking.
What kind of witch likes to go to the beach? A sandwich. Why shouldn't an angry witch take a broom trick or treating? She might fly off the handle. Where do witches bake their cakes? In the coven.
The BookBot. She's an acquired taste, but she has a solid collection of jokes. Well, that's it from We Love Books for today. A huge thanks to everybody who made the show possible, to Claire Chamberlain, who organised her interview with Danny, even though it's his busiest time of year. Massive thanks to Danny for giving us his precious time during the Halloween season, and a big thanks to the kids of St. Columbus School in North Strand for helping us investigate life after death. Well, I'm Niamh Bennett.
And I'm the BookBot.
Happy reading.
And happy Halloween.